today on Real Ghost Stories Online, she had written it off as something that happened during her childhood until her friend saw someone walk through the apartment and describe something she thought had been gone for a very long time.
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Hey there. Thank you very much for listening. If you have a real ghost story, you can share it with us. And you can write it in. If you want to do that, go to realghoststoriesonline.com. If it's easier to leave us a voicemail, please do that. Call 855-853-4802. You can also become a premium subscriber. You get advanced episodes, access to the archive, no commercials. You can sign up through Apple Podcasts or patreon.com/realghoststories. I'm Carol Hughes, and Kathy Gordon is here with me today.
How are you doing?
I'm good. I want to, can I brag just a little bit?
You know it.
I just want to brag a little bit. So, you know, I write for the theater that I've had paranormal experiences in. I've been writing for them for, over 20 years now. And I also, that's where I bartend on Saturday nights. I love being there. It's a super fun place to be. And USA Today had a poll, you know, how they will be like most haunted location in the United States or best zoo in the United States. Well, they have best dinner theater in the United States. And we came in number 5.
For that's
best
impressive.
Dinner theater in the United States in the USA Today poll. We came
that's
in number
awesome.
5. And so I get a kick out of it because like the article that here are the top 10 dinner theaters in the country, and it mentions one of the shows that I wrote. And I was like, oh, look right there.
Oh, that's so cool.
And the picture is from one of my shows that they have in there. And it's just really exciting.
That is awesome. Congratulations to everybody at the Mosley Street Melodrama.
I know. I was really excited about that. And we do kind of a, everything else sounded kind of higher brow. And then we do kind of parodies, and it's very audience interactive. It's very impromptu feeling. It's just to make you laugh is all it is. And so when I'm looking at some of the other places, I'm like, oh, that's so not us.
Like you didn't do the, you know, like Diary of Anne Frank or something like that. You know, it's not. Okay.
No. But tonight I'm going to go see Jesus Christ Superstar at a local theater, and they do really good productions.
Get us started.
They were not voted in the top 10 dinner theaters in the United States, I might add. But but it's a really good theater. But tonight is kind of weird. Kathy and I were talking about this yesterday because I have several good friends in this show, and I think they're all going to be great. Don't get me wrong. But it's going to be kind of strange to see one of my good friends up there as Jesus. You know what I mean? Like, I think maybe if you go to church all the time and you're used to your church productions, you know, when Easter Sunday comes around or something, and, you know, old Ricky, he always plays Jesus. But it's just going to be kind of strange to see my friend Sam as Jesus.
Well, yes. And, you know, he's got a wig on and whatever, and it will just be a little
odd.
And
he's like,
you know?
Yeah, it's like he's hung on the cross. He is Jesus. Yeah. So it's going to be kind of strange, but vocally he's going to nail those numbers. He's going to be great. But I just the whole idea of seeing my good friend up there, because I've seen the production before, but it was not a local production. So I'm excited to see it tonight.
Okay, well, we do. Okay, let's do 22nd Jesus Christ Superstar. You start.
So they say, you're to the Christ, you're the great Jesus Christ.
Prove to me that you're no fool.
Walk across my swimming pool. You do that for me, then I'll let you go free. Come on, King of the Jews.
Okay.
The reason I remember King Herod's song is that the one that I started singing is because I played it on the piano and I would sing the time. Which cracks me up to think of me as a 10, 11, 12-year-old just singing that song every single day.
That's so funny. I loved
it. So let's go to a ghost story, which is kind of the Jesus Christ Superstar story. Okay. I've been listening for a few weeks now. Figured I'd send this in. I've had a couple of things happen over the years. This is the one that makes me rethink something I had pretty much written off when I was younger. This was a little over a year ago at my old apartment. It wasn't anything unusual. Just a normal place, no history that I knew of, nothing strange had ever happened there before. A friend of mine had stayed over one night after we had gone out. We got back late. She crashed. The next morning, we were both getting ready to go run some errands. My place was small, so the bedroom and bathroom were right next to each other with a straight path. Sorry, I am having like allergies and stuff today. My place was small, so the bedroom and bathroom were right next to each other with a straight path from one to the other and then out toward the back door. I was in the bathroom getting ready. She was sitting on my bed on her phone. When I finished, I turned everything off, grabbed a couple things, walked back into the bedroom. When I walked in, she was sitting up, looking confused, staring toward the back door. It caught me off guard right away because she wasn't moving, wasn't on her phone anymore, just sitting there like she was trying to figure something out. I asked her what was going on. She didn't answer right away. She kept looking toward the door for another second, then looked at me and asked if anyone else had been in the apartment. I told her no. She said she thought she had seen someone walk through the hallway. That got my attention right away, and I asked her what she meant. And she said she heard me stop in the bathroom, figured I had already come out, but then saw someone come from that direction, walk across the hallway, go straight out the back door. She pointed it out again like she was replaying it from the bathroom, out the hallway. I asked her if she was serious. She said, yeah. And at that point, it didn't feel like something to brush off, so we both got up, went straight to the back door, and it was shut with the chain locked. There's no way to lock that from the outside, and I hadn't gone anywhere near the door that morning. She noticed it right away. She said, okay, that doesn't make sense. But we went ahead and opened it, checked outside, looked around a bit. No one was there. We went back through the apartment, checking the other rooms, closets, everything. It wasn't a big place, so it didn't take very long. No one was there. By the time we were done, she wasn't just confused anymore. She kept saying she knew what she saw, but now she didn't have any way to explain it. That's when I asked her what the person looked like, and she said it was a guy with short dark hair and a red shirt. That was it. I didn't say anything right away, but I felt it. I didn't know how else to explain it. It just hit me all at once. She asked if I was okay. I told her yeah. I asked if she was sure she didn't catch something quick out of the corner of her eye, mistake a shadow for something, but she said no. She saw him walking. After that, she went into the bathroom to get ready and we dropped it. We still went out, did what we had planned, but I wasn't really paying attention to much of it. I kept thinking about that, especially the part about where she said he came from. The reason it bothered me is because of something I used to see when I was younger. I didn't tell her about it then. I still haven't told her. Before we moved into the house I grew up in, we lived in a smaller place where I shared a room with my sisters. I slept on the top bunk, and for a while I would wake up at night and see someone standing near the bed. Not every night, but enough that I can remember it clearly. It never moved or came closer. It was just there. The only thing I really noticed about it was the shirt. It was a red shirt. I told my parents about it a couple of times. They said it was just a dream. After a while, I stopped bringing it up, and eventually it stopped happening. I got older, figured that's all it was. So hearing her describe that the way she did didn't feel random to me. I didn't tell her any of that. I didn't want to scare her, and I didn't even know where to start with it. But I did think about it a lot more than I wanted to. Because the only thing I could come back to was that I hadn't seen anything like that in years. It had stopped when I was a kid, and I never expected it to come back again in any way. And then she described it like it had just walked through my apartment. Nothing else ever happened there. There was no sounds, nothing moved, nothing like that. But for a while after that, I kept expecting something to. I'd walk back into my room at night or catch myself looking toward the door before I even realized I was doing it. Or I'd turn the lights off and pause for a second before moving, like I didn't want to step into something I couldn't see. I never saw it again. A part of me is glad for that, but a part of me also keeps waiting for it. Like if it showed up once like that, maybe it wasn't done. I don't really like thinking about it that way, so I try not to, but it's always in the back of my mind. Thanks for taking the time to read this. I really enjoy this show. Haley from Virginia. That's a creepy story, really.
It really is. And she, I know that feeling, because once something happens to you like that, it does kind of just tilt your perspective on the house and where you live, and it makes everything just a little weirder. You're nervous about stepping into a room sometimes, or you get a, you know, like, flip on the bathroom light. Is something going to be there? Just makes you hesitant or with your surroundings. So I completely get that. Do you think this guy ever left?
Well, it makes me think his intention is just to be in the background.
I'm thinking maybe his intention is there to just protect and be there for her.
Yeah, I don't think he wants to be seen. I just think it was like, whoopsie.
I think when she was little, you know, that was there. But I think as she got older, as we do, we start putting up those walls and barriers between us and the veil. And I think that maybe he's never been gone. I don't want to scare Haley, but I feel like she might have a guardian spirit.
I definitely think that's something that she has thought about, obviously.
Yeah. I don't think his intention is to hurt her or do anything weird. He just seems to be in the background. And I have a feeling that she's got a guardian spirit. I think a lot of us do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, occasionally I've caught a glimpse of mine, but I always feel like he's there. He's around me.
So it just seems like her friend, you know, is kind of, whoopsie. Yeah. I think I just caught your guardian angel or whatever
she might be. She may have a sensitive friend, and, you know, her friend didn't even realize it was so real to her.
Well, and then to go check the door and have the chain on the inside of the door still, you can't do that from the outside.
You can't, and I would be a little bit weirded out thinking there was a guy walking around the apartment.
Absolutely, and you have to go look, because you don't know. But I mean, what a weird feeling to think, okay, that happened as a kid, don't know what that was.
Mm-hmm.
Probably just my imagination as a kid. Did I ever really see that? You know?
It sounds like you did.
Sorry.
And I think that I personally think he's still there, but I don't think there's any reason to be afraid of him, because I think he's there to protect you.
I also get that feeling, though, because, yeah, you might be there to protect me, but if I see you again, it will scare the shit out of me. And so I get why that would kind of create a little, like, what the hell?
It does. And it does. You know, I know that feeling. Once you have something happen, you're just a little bit nervous to look up or to look over there because you saw something there one time. And it just, you're just a little hesitant in your life around the house now, you know.
And
so I get it.
Here's the other option. It could be coincidental. Her friend could have just seen a random apparition, happened to be wearing a red shirt. Not that uncommon. Red shirts are kind of common. And maybe that's all it was.
You haven't convinced me, but that's okay.
Right. But I mean, that is an option. That's another explanation for this story.
Okay.
Maybe the girl had been doing some acid or something like that. She was having hallucinations. There's another option for you.
Sure.
There's that one could be.
Yep,
you know, she's just sitting there on her phone. Whoops, here comes a hallucination. Happens to be a guy in a red shirt. So
well, or she just brought her own guardian along with her and took him home with her.
And he just liked
And they the both red. Happen to have red-shirted guy guardians. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But
could be. So there you go. There's a couple options for you. Well, let's go to this caller.
This is John from North Carolina. Got two quick stories to tell you. First one is, I'd heard a while back, maybe a couple months actually, there's a guy that called up from North Carolina talking about the Lawson Bridge up in Lawsonville, North Carolina, where if you park your car on it and turn it off in the night, that it won't turn back on until you push it off the bridge. When I heard that, me and a buddy of mine drove out there, and it was dusk. The sun was going down, but it was still a little bit light out. we parked his Jeep on it. We put it in neutral. It was an automatic. So we turned it off. And like I said, it was dusk, but it did take us three times to crank that damn Jeep up. And he hightailed it out of there and swore to God that he didn't believe it. But I pretty much believe it. So whoever called up and gave that story, I'm right there with you. The story I want to tell is one time I was staying up in Pilot Knob, North Carolina, in a little cabin with my fiance. And we were up there for 3 days and two nights. And first day and night, it was cool. You know, the first day we got there, we slept. Next day we woke up, went hiking a little bit. My uncle don't live too far from there, so we drove up to his house, saw him. We went back to the cabin, went to sleep, and I woke up in the middle of the night with the most terrifying experience I've ever had. It might be sleep paralysis, or, you know, whatever the hell that is. Might be that, but I woke up to seeing myself and my fiance on the bed looking at us. I was looking at us on the bed, and I felt like I was struggling to get back into my body. And I remember the whole time in my head, I could feel myself in my body on the bed, although I was looking at us. And I was trying to move. I was trying to scream. I was trying to do everything. Like, I could even feel myself in my body, even though I was looking at us. And, you know, everything was tensed up. I was trying to move, trying to get her to help me. I thought I was dying. Maybe I did die. I don't know. That's my own thought about it. But eventually, whenever I came back into my body, I hit the crap out of her by mistake because I was just eagerly trying to move to get her attention. And when I woke up, my hand smacked the hell out of her. And she woke up, and I told her about it. And we were both freaked out, and we just went downstairs and had a couple of drinks until we could calm down and go back to sleep. But I'd like to see what you guys have to say about that. I will talk to y'all soon. Bye.
Okay, two things. Number one is that dream would have scared the shit out of me, too. But before we discuss that, I always find it interesting, those bridge stories, that there's so many of them around the country. And if you park in this certain spot, like it depends. Your car might die and you can't start it. Or it rocks a little bit is another thing that happens. And then you hear the stories like him. Okay, so we went out and tried it and it happened to us.
Yeah.
I always find that so interesting because you just think it should be local folklore. You know, that story really doesn't exist. But then when
is there some sort of weird, like, is there some sort of, you know, it's weird that it's so many bridges, right? Because you could say if this was like in other places, maybe there's some sort of weird black hole warpy time thing that makes, you know, that messes with engines or something, right? Some sort of weird magnetic field thing that does something. But why would it just be bridges? That kind of stuff would happen like wherever.
Mm-hmm.
So the bridge thing is weird. Is there something to do with water and maybe the limestone around, or I just don't know.
Man, I just Googled, or ChatGPT, I'm sorry, I didn't Google it. I said, are there some haunted bridges in Oregon? And it says, yeah, Oregon actually has a surprising number of haunted bridge legends. And you know what one of them is?
What?
The Astoria Megler Bridge, the really big one that we went across.
Oh, that is big too, yeah.
Not officially haunted. It sits near the graveyard of the Pacific, tons of shipwrecks. Some people claim seeing ghost ships, figures, or jumpers while crossing.
Ooh.
Sorry, the guy in the motorcycle keeps driving by. It says, even without ghosts, this bridge is eerie just from the environment. And that is true.
That's really true. Because
it's really high up in the air, too.
Until it goes for a while way high because they have to open it for ships to go through. But then as it gets close over to Washington, it goes back low again.
Mm-hmm.
But you're still driving across the water, you know. It's a creepy bridge.
But it does say, it does say that. So when I asked it, why are there so many haunted bridge stories? It says Ridges are natural in-between places. They connect two places, so they're transitional unstable. Water and death, power symbolism, because historically they're linked to accidents, suicides, bodies that have never been recovered. They're isolated. And most of these, like the one he's talking about, are out in the middle of nowhere. They make weird sounds, yes. So, yeah, I mean, I can see how the bridge becomes haunted. And, you know, there's usually in those kind of folklore stories, there is a grain of truth somewhere. The story started somewhere. But it's kind of like the game of telephone. As the story goes on, legend gets bigger. But then how can someone like him go to that bridge? They try the thing with the car, and the car won't start right away.
And it happens.
So that I always find interesting. Whenever we get a confirmation of one of those bridge stories actually happening to somebody, and he didn't sound full of shit. He sounded like they really went out there because they heard it on the show, and they wanted to check it out.
Well, and you know, the other thing to me about bridges is they are sort of a wonder, an engineering marvel, right? That it shouldn't be there. It was never, the earth was never designed to have that happen. That's just something we did as people that conquered it. And so I do think the energy would be weird because you're linking to things that by nature shouldn't be.
But when you think about it, there's a lot of things that shouldn't be in nature that are, that we have created.
But it is interesting. But
a bridge has the water element, and there might be some limestone nearby, you know, train tracks on a bridge. So, there, you know, a lot of those things add them together. They kind of create a paranormal perfect storm, if you will.
Yeah.
I don't know. I find that interesting. But the other, the dream he had, you know, it wasn't like totally a sleep paralysis dream. It was almost like an out-of-body experience dream.
That's what I felt like about it, because I've had one of those, you know, where I've talked to you guys about, you know, where I've looked down and saw myself. When it happened to me when I was probably in my 20s, and I looked down and saw myself and my husband laying there asleep. And so I've had it. Yeah, I think I was less scared and more confused at that time, if I remember right, how I felt about it.
Well, and it's so interesting because he reacted to it to the point where when he comes out of the dream, he is flailing so much he accidentally hit his girlfriend.
Yeah, and they had to go have drinks.
I don't blame him. He was very unnerved by it.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Yeah. I thought that one was super interesting.
It's a good one.
Let's do one more quickie here.
Hi, guys. This is Sunny. I've written in a few shows, but today I decided to call. I started a new job recently for a lady that I helped take care of. And when I was at her house, I noticed a few things happening that are a little strange. One day I was upstairs cleaning, doing some chores, and I noticed that one of the lamps wouldn't turn on. So went down to get a light bulb, came back up, put the new light bulb in the lamp, and when I turned it on, it didn't turn on right away. So I figured, okay, maybe it's just broken or something. So I started to walk away, and then when I started walking away, suddenly the lamp turns on by itself. And that was a little weird, but I just was like, okay, maybe it's just the lamp's old or something, I don't know. And then later, I was downstairs getting her dinner ready, and I went to serve her dinner. And when I walked up to her, there was like this smell of burning candles, but there's no candles in the house anywhere around that area. And she never really lights candles in the house at all anyway, so I thought that was a little weird. Later on, as I got to know her, she started telling me about, you know, things that happened. She told me that she used to have a dog, a German Shepherd that they had, her and her husband had for a long time. And he got really sick when he started getting old, and he went in the kitchen, laid down, and died. One morning they came down and found him dead in the kitchen. Also, she said her husband died upstairs in the room where I had the experience with the lamp. She said he died up there. And so I was like, okay, that's a little creepy. There's always noises whenever I'm here by myself. Sometimes her daughter will come and pick her up and take her places, and I'll stay here and clean and do other things. And there's always like these weird noises on the roof. There's no attic. It's just a large living room area and a large ceiling that's open. But there's always like these bangs on the ceiling. Sometimes when I go to the bathroom upstairs, there's bangs in the bathroom. And one day I was like, let me just say something. You know, I said, hey, I'll be out of here in a minute. Thanks. I'll be right. I'll be done in a minute and I'll be leaving. And then suddenly, you know, there's no more noise. So there's a lot of strange things, you know, that are not really that big of a deal, but still a little strange. Not sure if anything else is going to happen, but if it does, I'll probably call back and let you know. I love the show. Thanks a lot. Bye.
Well, and I really appreciate what she does, helping that woman.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think it would be creepy to find out that her husband died in the house, in that room that you had had a weird experience in with the lamp.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Yeah. And then, too, you know, I don't know this situation, but a lot of times an elderly person's house, it has its own kind of personality, and it's just different. It's so different. Like, they might have things that are family heirlooms that have been around forever that just all of it kind of adds to the creepy feeling. But it's interesting at the end when she's hearing knocking or something like that. She's like, okay, I'll be out of here in a minute. She's just going with it. Like, I don't know what's happening, but give me a minute.
I think that's the way to handle it. I really do. Is just talk to it, acknowledge it, let it know that you're moving out. I'm just cleaning, taking care of, you know, Beverly or whoever it is. And, you know, I'm here to help out, and just let them know you're there for the good. And I think maybe you'll find that you may still hear weird noises every now and then, but I don't think it's bad.
No, I think it's the husband, because he loves her probably, and he wants to make sure she's okay, and wants to make sure this person is doing what she's supposed to be doing, and, you know, taking care of her.
Yeah, and just, I think just talk to him and tell him that exact thing, don't you?
Absolutely. I think she's doing the right thing. I mean, it's not horrible haunting stuff, but enough to creep you out and be like, okay.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, I think she's handling it quite well. So if you have a real ghost story, you can let us know about it. Leave us a voicemail at 855-853-4802. Write it down. Go to realghoststoriesonline.com, and you can become a premium subscriber of the show. You get advanced episodes, access to the archive, no commercials, and you could sign up right now if you want. Your Apple Podcasts or patreon.com/realghoststories. For all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thanks for listening.
Normally in these ads, you expect somebody to ask you to buy something, but this is something different. I'm Julian Barnes, and I'm a reporter for the New York Times. I'm a national security reporter, and that means I'm reporting on military operations. These are fast-paced, quickly moving situations. What exactly is happening on the ground is often shrouded in mystery. But we turn to trusted sources, satellite imagery, and expertise built up over years in order to ferret out the facts that wouldn't otherwise come to light. I'm here to ask you to seek out a news source that does firsthand fact-based reporting. If it's your local paper, great. If it's the Times, thank you. Because where you go for your information matters.